You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 375. Notre Dame had their junior day. Notre Dame also picked up a graduate transfer at wide receiver. Solon wrote an article over on our website, and we'll get to all of this, but first off, I want to say hey to Randall. Randall, it's good to have you here, back from Phoenix.
Yeah, trying to get used to the cold weather again. Actually, it was nice here in Indiana today, so can't complain.
Yeah, not too much to complain about. Hopefully we're on the warm swing now, heading into spring. So I guess let's start off with one of the hotter topics, junior day. Notre Dame had a handful of guys there, not a ton, and they did pick up another commitment earlier. That was earlier today, right?
Yes, that was today.
So let's just talk a little bit about junior day, and did Notre Dame, did it have a good impact on the guys that were there? And then, of course, let's talk about that new commit.
Yeah, there weren't a whole lot of guys there on this junior day, the first junior day. But all six of the current commits were there at Notre Dame, which it gave them a chance to catch up with the new staff, see how they fit in, you know. And I think the staff just wanted to make sure that these guys are wanted and, you know, things haven't changed since they committed. But I think it also helped recruiting the guys that they brought in. To have that many current commits there with the five, there were actually more commits than there were uncommitted guys. So there was six commits and five uncommitted guys. That probably made a difference to those guys, hanging out with them and hearing all these guys in their ear all weekend talking about how great Notre Dame is, and they can actually see it. Made a big difference.
Some positive peer pressure.
Yes. And they did go to the basketball game on Saturday, and Notre Dame put on a good game for them, beating Florida State, trying to make up for that loss they had to Florida State earlier, but did a very good job of that. So that was a good thing. I don't know if Brian Kelly was pushing Mike Bray at all to make sure he wins this game, but it worked out pretty good. So there were five uncommitted guys. Four of them had offers when they came in, and we had talked about that, you know, maybe somebody would get an offer, and the one guy did. Cole Mabry, offensive lineman from Tennessee, he received an offer while I was there at Notre Dame, so he was the fifth guy. There was four other guys. Obviously, Micah Jones was a big receiver that was there. He's highly ranked, and he's also 6'5", 195 pounds. So, he liked what he saw at Notre Dame. He was there from Friday to Sunday, so he was there for quite a bit of the weekend, and everything he basically said, Notre Dame is his leader right now, but he was planning to wait to commit until April. Some people think that might change because he had some other schools that he wanted to visit, but there is talk that he might cancel other visits, you know, because he obviously loved Notre Dame. And the bad thing was that Dell Alexander, the wide receiver coach, actually wasn't on campus this weekend. So I don't know if that, you know, he does want to come back and see him this spring, maybe like a spring practice or something, come back and talk with him. But I think Dell Alexander, I'm not sure what the exact reason was, but it was some family matter or something, so he wasn't there to talk with them. And Micah Jones had been at Notre Dame before. He was there for Irish Invasion last summer, so this wasn't his first visit to Notre Dame. And then Braden Lindsey is a guy from Oregon and another wide receiver, and his dad actually works for Nike, so I think that's out in Oregon. But he said that Marquise Stepp had been telling him about Notre Dame, which Marquise Stepp talks to all the recruits about Notre Dame. But he said when he got there, he sent out a tweet on Saturday and was like, whoa, this place is no joke. So, and he had also said he was very excited to be heading to Notre Dame. So obviously you said, you know, you heard from Marquise and then he gets Notre Dame, and obviously everything that Marquise had said was true and he liked it. So we'll see what happens with that. I was from Oregon, but, it's a long ways, but we'll see what happens with that. Another guy, Dallas Gant, he was there overnight in South Bend as well. He's been at Notre Dame before, from Ohio, and, he got to talk with Mike Elko, you know, see where he fits in, and he said he would be, like, playing at the buck position in Elko's defense. And he brought his family along, so they got a chance to actually sit down and talk with Brian Kelly. I mean, they've been there before, but they didn't have a chance to talk with Kelly like that. So definitely a good thing there. And then the other guy is a... Gervin, he actually committed to Notre Dame today. So he got an offer. He hasn't had an offer that long. I'd have to go back and see when he actually got the offer. But he got an offer from Notre Dame last couple weeks, and he immediately wanted to visit Notre Dame. He's from Detroit, Michigan. And I guess he's wanted this offer for a long time already. And he comes from school that... from a couple other guys that Notre Dame recruited last year, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Jalen Kelly Powell. You might remember those names from last recruiting cycle. So he played with them in high school, and they obviously didn't come to Notre Dame, but Gervin wanted to come, and he committed today. I guess he was pretty excited. He said yesterday is a big announcement tomorrow. Then this morning he tweeted out, he said the announcement will be at 11:30, which in Michigan that would be Central Time. And then just a couple minutes later, it's like, change of plans. And they tweeted out, he's committed to Notre Dame. So I don't know if that was all planned out or how that all worked out. But big pickup for Notre Dame. He's four-star. He's listed as an athlete, but Notre Dame wants him as a cornerback. And Notre Dame needs cornerbacks because he did not get any in the last cycle. So they're planning to take that. I think they want to get three or four in this cycle. So huge pickup for Notre Dame. Yeah, and that brings the total to 7. So definitely a good start for Notre Dame. There's a couple other guys that didn't make it to Notre Dame that talked about it, but there's different reasons. I mean, it wasn't like it's they're not interested in Notre Dame. It's just different. I know P.J. Mustafer, which is Sam Mustafer's brother, was at a wrestling tournament. I think he might have won that tournament. He was doing pretty good, so that he didn't come. Some of the others, you know, travel plans, things like that, so... Nothing. It's not like the guys decided, oh, they don't want to come to Notre Dame. But right now, if you want to keep track of the rankings, Rivals has Notre Dame, the 2018 class, at number 2 in the rankings, and then Scout 24/7 have them at number 3. So definitely a good start. I mean, there's obviously a lot of time. It's a year until signing day, so a lot of things can happen. But this is obviously a very close-knit group. And the current commits are busy recruiting other guys. And so that's always a good thing. So it's not like these guys are just committed and they might change their mind later. These guys are obviously sold on Notre Dame and they're doing everything they can to get guys to join them. So that basically wraps up the guys that were there. One of the guys... I believe it was Gant mentioned that Notre Dame is planning to have, that they might have a different locker room. They're getting a new game day locker room, and there's some other upgrades that I guess they're telling recruits about. So I guess there'll be more things happening there at Notre Dame.
All right. So Notre Dame also picked up not a high school commit, but they did pick up a transfer from Michigan, wide receiver Freddie Canteen, and kind of been hit with injuries, hasn't played a whole lot the last few years, and he was a 4-star coming out of high school, so at least he if that, you know, if that matters. But do you think he fits in? Where do you think he fits in, Randall, with the wide receiver groups? We lost Torrey Hunter, so our old guys in the wide receiver room are,
and you lost Corey Holmes as well.
Well, true. St. Brown and Sanders and Fink, which Fink didn't, I don't know, Sanders has more experience than Fink probably, although Fink did play more at the end of the year. But EQ is the one guy that really has, is one of the older guys in the room. Those three will be juniors. Stevenson obviously played a lot too. He'll only be a sophomore. So a very young group. Here comes kind of an older guy in there and hasn't had as much success as EQ or Stevenson. Do you think he's able to get into the rotation somewhere?
Well, this was kind of out of the blue, and like one of the guys on our forums commented, literally out of the blue since he's coming from Michigan. I don't know that much about him, but looking at his stats and knowing that he has injuries, you're kind of wondering, you know, what the staff was thinking on this. I mean, he's had 6 career receptions for 18 yards. Or no, 22 yards. He started, he played in 7 games and started 2. His freshman year would have been the most action he saw. And then Harbaugh, he played in 1 game. It's the first year that Harbaugh was there. He played in 1 game. So I don't know if it was just a difference in, you know, with what Harbaugh wanted to do, what the deal was. And then he actually, the 2015 season, which would have been Harbaugh's first year, one of the coaches said he was working exclusively at cornerback position. He'd been working with the cornerbacks. And that article I'd found, they all said he was known for his footwork and route running as a receiver. But for some reason, he just didn't fit in. I'm not even sure he wasn't listed on the roster last year at Michigan. So I don't know what the whole story is behind that. But looking at these, and then you hear the injuries, and you kind of think of the last guys Notre Dame's taken in. I'm totally blanked. The cornerback.
Cody Riggs.
And then Avery Sebastian. And though, you know, they both, Cody Riggs did play quite a bit, but then he also had injuries. Avery Sebastian just had injuries all the time, just couldn't really get on the field. But when you go back to what you were saying about the guys that are on the receiver group, you know, it's young guys. So here's a guy that has been in the college football system for a couple years. He was an early enrollee at Michigan, and so he's been playing football for a couple years. And it's just a veteran guy that they can add.
And maybe
in the meeting rooms, even on the field, helping these guys adjust. You know, I think it was Harry Hiestand talking about the early enrollees on the line that were helping the new guys, you know, fit in and, you know, different things like that. And I think that's something he can make a big difference in. He's that veteran guy in the wide receiver group that maybe doesn't need to be the number one receiver, you know, doesn't have to be the top receiver. He's just...
But there might also be a chance maybe he doesn't stay at receiver.
Well, who knows? Obviously, if he was practicing with cornerbacks, you know, they didn't get a cornerback in the last cycle, recruiting cycle. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, I think he definitely has a chance to compete at the wide receiver group. I mean, we're talking about it. You have EQ. You know, some of these guys do have, you know, obviously EQ is your number one guy, but there's not a whole lot of experience at the wide receiver group.
No.
So with, you know, a new wide receivers coach, we'll just kind of have to see how this plays out.
All right, if you guys, I'll plug Solon's article now. If you guys are interested in knowing more about Elko's defense, well, what is the Buck, you know, more about what is the Rover, and some of the different names that are being, different positions are being called different things, even though they might do similar things that we've seen under Brian Van Gorder. Read his article. Just head over to our website, irishsportstalk.net, and it'll be one of the latest articles over there. And I guess also, yeah, join the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. It is free. We usually have a little conversation going on over there. Share your thoughts. Ask a question if you have a question. And we'll keep the Notre Dame football conversation going over the summer. Well, first off, over the winter and spring, and then over the summer.
Yeah, I'll throw this out too. If you do want to know more about the new coaches and their scheme, what they do, the guy that did it, his YouTube name is Down in the Bend, and he works for 18 Stripes, so one of the Notre Dame websites, one of the newer ones. He has like breakdowns of the 2016 Memphis versus Navy condensed offense. So there's like 10 minutes of the offense. So you can see what Chip Long did there. And just different things like that. The Wake Forest condensed defense, you know, what Elko does. So I haven't watched all of them, but definitely a good thing if you kind of want to see what these coaches do, what they've done at other schools. Definitely a good thing. The other thing I want to mention, did you see all the hashtags players saying about the Valentine's Day Massacre?
I didn't see that.
Which day was it? But it's one of the workouts. That's what they call one of the workouts the other day. They had signs, obviously, you know, like the Valentine's Day cards, big signs with quotes on them. They had a heart. I don't know if all the guys got one, but basically like a heart with their name on it. And then they had a letter from the strength and conditioning staff. And I guess they had a pretty serious workout the other morning. And it was called the Valentine's Day Massacre. They were all using that hashtag. So we'll see how much of this talk about strength and conditioning, how big a difference we can see.
Well, and maybe the biggest difference will be more in a different attitude about enjoying competing.
Yeah.
And becoming a better competitor.
Yeah. And along with that, one of the conversations on the forum was about strength and conditioning and the coaching. And one of the guys pointed out that, like, Alabama, their strength and conditioning staff, I think they have 10 guys on the strength and conditioning staff. And Clemson has 9, I believe. I think Notre Dame's at 6. So they are, which they were adding more guys than they had been before. But, oh no, it's here. Solon had on. The University of Alabama employs 13 strength and conditioning coaches who work solely with the football team. Clemson has 10 devoted totally to football. So Notre Dame has 6. I think that's huge. Just because those are the guys that are with the players year round. You could, honestly, you start thinking about it. If you, let's say you were the head coach, wouldn't it be worth it to pay a lot of money, one of your best coaches, just to be on the strength and conditioning?
Well, and even the thing of it, if you're Jack Swarbrick, I mean, I would, football's a moneymaker. I would pay whatever it takes to win championship games.
Yeah.
And maybe it's more than just paying the top coach. It's also these other things like hiring as many staff members as you need.
I'd want to know what, you know, when they get into that, all these coaches, at what point, what's the difference between the strength and conditioning guy and like a normal coach? Like, at what point can't a strength and conditioning coach just say, hey, practice running this route, or for a receiver, you know, things like that? I'm sure we could probably, there's probably,
I don't know, I'm sure they're very in tune with what the coaches want to do.
Yeah. And
but
I would be putting getting as much staff on strength and conditioning as possible. Just like what Alabama is doing.
Yeah, if you can use more guys, get as many as you can use.
So, anyways, I thought that was kind of interesting. I had not known that before.
All right, I didn't have anything else to discuss. Did you, Randall?
No, that's about it for now.
All right. Stay tuned. Next week we'll be back again. Not sure exactly what we'll be talking about, but usually there's either some recruiting news or something seems to come up.
It's Notre Dame football.
Always something. All right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.